and welcome back to On The Box as part of the Geek Show Podcast Network. We are dedicated to all things TV.
I am all things TV?
The majority of things TV.
Okay, except for TV dinners.
Well, I don't know. I occasionally...
Having dinner in front of the TV is fine, but yeah. TV dinners are those ones where it's all kind of prepackaged food.
Oh, yeah.
And you just whack it in the microwave, and then you take the lid, tear the lid off, and you have like these weird kind of foods, which apparently are mashed potato and roast beef with gravy and maybe peas.
Yeah, sometimes I like them, but I don't like the single Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, they never do it right.
No, I usually have. I like to have four Yorkshire puddings with my tea. But one, I'm sorry, and three roast potatoes, nah, I'm sorry, I'm not having it.
Yes, Owen, in case you haven't guessed, is like me. He likes to be paid in food.
Well, not quite bathed, but you know, I enjoy you
are exactly like me. You have a secret sign that says we'll work for food.
How do you know about that?
Because I have one as well. It takes one to know one, Owen. So, yes, anyway, how have you been, Owen?
I have been well. I have been very well. You?
We were at an event over the weekend
called
SunnyCon. We're covering that for The Geek Show. It was an anime and manga event. It was really interesting,
yeah.
Pretty cool. All sorts of things happened, but okay. We won't talk about that here. Anyway.
What happens at SunnyCon stays at SunnyCon.
Yeah, kind of. Right, we're going to start off with a little bit of sad news.
Yes.
Sadly, Patrick McNee has passed away, and most people will know him as John Steed from The Avengers. And by that, I should clarify, we don't mean Marvel's superhero Avengers team. We mean the very, very British spy sleuth type person,
yes.
John Steed.
With an umbrella, in a suit, and a bowler hat.
He was magnificent in
role. He drove a Jag as well.
Yeah,
He drove.
Words from you flow not good. yes, he drove a Jag, and it was a magnificent Jag. And I've got to say, okay, you've watched The Avengers as well, but I think yours was the New Avengers.
The New Avengers, yes.
Which I actually quite liked. What was the guy's name? I've forgotten.
I can't remember. All I remember is Patrick McNee and Joanna Lumley. That's about it.
We'll Google it.
Yes.
Was it Charlie or something like that? It wasn't Ducky, I'm pretty sure of that, because Ducky's...
You're thinking of NCIS, though.
Yes, I am. So, yeah. Anyway, okay, I've got to ask, original Avengers or new Avengers?
Nice. I've got a problem with that, because I'd only really watched the new Avengers.
Oh, you missed out. The original Avengers were really... The new Avengers was great, don't get me wrong. You know, I really liked the new Avengers. But for me, Mrs. Peel was, I loved Mrs. Peel.
Yeah,
she was so elegant and charming and just downright dangerous. And, you know, she's Joanna Lumley was good.
Yeah.
As, I've forgotten her name. Was it Purdy?
Yeah, it was Purdy. Yeah.
Yeah. She was good as Purdy, but, Mrs. Peel, man, Mrs. Peel. Oh.
I think the bloke you were thinking of was Dr. David Keel.
No. You know the one from the New Avengers.
Okay. I just had that as well.
From the New Avengers, there was Steed.
Gambit.
Gambit, that was
That's it, Gambit.
Gambit.
By Gareth Hunt.
Yes. But yeah.
See, some broadcasters can say that last name.
Yes. Gareth Hunt. But yeah, was it Honor Blackman played Mrs. Peel?
I do not know.
Was it Honor Blackman played Mrs. Peel? I can't remember. She played Kathy Gale in The Avengers. It was Diana Rigg.
Yes,
played Mrs. Peel.
Yes,
and Diana Rigg was all kinds of fabulous.
Yes. Anyway, it is unfortunate about Patrick McNeil. I mean, he wasn't just known for The Avengers. He was also. He also played Dr. Watson opposite Christopher Lee's Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, he did. Yes. And Christopher Lee's Sherlock Holmes was amazing.
It was, yeah.
It was all kinds of amazing. But I mean, he was also in Battlestar Galactica.
No, I just noticed
he was the imperious leader in Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah,
we're talking about the original one as well.
The thing is, did you ever watch A View to a Kill? The Bond movie.
Yes, I have.
Because he was in that as well.
Yeah.
And he was basically spoofing his role in the Avengers for A View to a Kill.
There you go. See, I only really knew him as John Steed, but it's unfortunate now that he's passed that I've realised he's done these other really good roles.
Well, you find that with a lot of... I mean, how old are you now, Owen?
21. I'm that young.
Yes, he is. You find that with a lot. Thing is, you find that with a lot of. This isn't meant to be derogatory to you, Owen. Okay, but this is a reflection of how old I am. You find that with a lot of kids your age these days, Owen. That when you have an actor like Patrick McNee, most people your age don't actually know about some of the great things he's been.
Yeah,
in. You know, you don't. You know, when the older generation and people older than me, you know, when we talk about Patrick McNee, we talk about him, you know, with the degree of fondness.
Mm.
And because we remember some fantastic times. We remember he was charming, he was witty, and he was just... because at the time that The Avengers came out, it was a very, very British kind of gentleman spy type thing.
Oh, yeah, I mean, when you just look at Patrick...
The Americans had The Saint...
Ah, yes, The Saint.
You know,
wasn't that Roger Moore?
Roger Moore, yeah. But that was very much an American production rather than a British one. And so they had The Saint and they had like various others like that. We had The Avengers.
Yes.
And I always felt that we had the best of the bargain because
definitely,
The Avengers was just... I could sit down and watch an episode, you know, the old black and white episodes of The Avengers because... They were just so urbane and so gentlemanly and so brilliantly British.
I mean, just when you look
you know, I mean, he'd walk in with an umbrella and a cane umbrella and a top and a bowler hat.
Yeah.
And he'd doff his hat at people by way of greeting.
Yeah.
How much more British can you get?
One of the best bits, I think,
he always wore a three-piece suit.
Yeah. Had a pocket square as well.
Yeah.
One of my favourite bits, I think, must have been the opening season where he's there with his umbrella. And he pulls out the handle and it's a sword, and he uses it to cut open a bottle of champagne.
Yes.
How British is that?
Oh, no, it's just kind of, oh.
He was, oh, I'm going to say, yeah, he was a legend.
He basically laid the foundations for a lot of what we think of now as James Bond.
Yeah.
You know,
the suave,
sophisticated. I mean, yes, he bounced off the whole thing with the original James Bond, Dr. No kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was an offshoot of that. But with that, I don't think James Bond would be as beloved as it is now if it wasn't for the Avengers.
Yes.
You know, James Bond, I don't think, would be a British institution that it is now.
No,
without the Avengers.
That's true.
They made that awful, awful remake, movie of it with Uma Thurman in, which just didn't quite work. I can't remember who played the role in that. Who played the lead? Was it Sean Connery? I think Sean Connery was in it, wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
Hmm. I'm pretty sure someone was in it.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson.
Ranulph Fiennes.
No, Ranulph Fiennes, yeah.
And Sean Connery.
Ray Fiennes, you mean.
Ray Fiennes. And yes. Patrick McNee was in it as well.
Yes, Ray Fiennes was in it. Sean Connery was the villain, I remember. And it was awfully bad.
Yeah.
And I felt really sorry for Patrick McNee being involved with the movie about the series, you know, based on the series that he was such a part of.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the cover now, the poster with the way Uma Thurman is, well, I'm just thinking, I'm sorry, but no. I mean, Sean Connery, I can understand, because he wanted, hasn't he always said he would like to return back to James Bond, but as a villain?
Yes.
So this is probably the closest he was possibly going to get.
Yeah. And
it's unfortunate.
The thing is, I'd like to see Sean Connery as the villain. I think he'd make a great villain.
Definitely, yeah.
Especially now that he's, you know, grizzled.
Yes. Yes.
It's with sadness we bid goodbye to Patrick McNee, who brought us so many hours of just wonderful entertainment.
Yes.
Our condolences do go out to his friends and family.
Yes.
He's a wonderful man, brilliant actor.
Definitely.
And we're going to miss him, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to miss him a little bit.
But I think you can watch reruns of The Avengers and even the new Avengers on, I think it's UK Gold?
Yeah. Well, they'll be around somewhere on TV.
Oh, definitely.
So, yes. Anyway, we're going to move into the rest of the news.
Yep.
We're going to start off with BBC.
Yes.
The BBC. So, what have we got about the BBC?
Well, first off, I'm going to be starting with... The BBC has lost the control of the UK broadcast rights for the Olympics from 2022.
What?
Basically, the BBC will no longer have the rights to broadcast the Olympics to us after 2022.
Why?
Because Eurosport has taken over the mantle of, I think, broadcasting it to the whole of Europe.
Eurosport?
Yes.
But we don't get Eurosport. It's not a free channel.
That's true. So it's like with Sky Formula One.
I'm getting sick and tired of this, right? We pay a license fee, so we're entitled to a certain degree of TV.
Yeah.
Right? Why the hell should should people who can't afford to buy Sky lose out on sports entertainment?
I really don't know. I mean, for me, it's like with Formula One. The BBC now share broadcast rights with Sky.
Yeah, but you don't get to see any of the races. You only see the qualifying.
Well, you get the highlights as well.
Yeah, but that's what's the point of the highlights?
I know, I mean...
You want to watch the actual race.
Yeah, because you don't want to be sat there, oh, the results are already there, what's the point of cheering for someone?
And then they complain, right? Then they complain, oh, we're not making any money and too many people are pirating shows. Ugh. Well, yeah, we don't have much of a choice. If we want to watch sports... But we can't afford Sky.
Aye.
Then people are going to go to onto these streaming websites and watch football matches and cricket matches and various things like that. How much are they actually paying for the rights?
Well, this is annoying me a little bit. Discovery, who own Eurosport, Discovery is a US broadcasting giant, and has signed a €1.3 billion deal for a Europe ride deals to the game. All right, let me put this in perspective. Greece, to save their country, need to pay the IMF €300 million by Friday, and they're getting they've signed a €1.3 billion deal.
That's pretty disgusting, isn't it?
It is.
I still don't know how a country can go bankrupt.
No.
I'd like someone to really explain that to me, because I'm not sure how land... with resources, and how a population of people can go bankrupt. I actually have an idea about the Greek debt crisis.
All right.
Do you want to hear it?
Go on.
Do you know how bankruptcy works? If you declare yourself bankrupt, you basically all your debts basically go void because you don't have anything, right? And you can't run a company or anything like that for a while, can't get loans, stuff like that. But then eventually your credit rating goes back to like zero, and then it can build it up again.
You sound quite familiar with this process.
It's happened to a few people I know.
Ah.
My credit rating is zero, but that's because I purposely keep it at zero.
Yeah.
If it works the same for countries, then all Greece should do is go, okay, right, we're leaving the euro, we're going to go back to the drachma, we're declaring ourselves bankrupt, so all our debts are gone. We've left the euro.
Yeah.
We don't owe you anything unless you convert it to drachma, and we dictate the exchange rate for the drachma. So it'll be, 700 euros per drachma. Thank you very much.
wow, so that's a... Yeah, that would basically put Greece ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, and basically, they do it like that, and they say, hey, you want to enforce this? We'll put our soldiers on the borders. What are you going to do? Invade the country? Are you going to start a war over this? Really? In this day and age?
Do we really
I think Russia and China would have something to say about that. And you basically play it like that.
Yes.
Right, because no one's going to go to war over something like this.
No, that's true.
Right? And all the Greeks need to do is station their soldiers at the borders to stop people coming in, and basically at the airports, make sure they search everybody so there's no legal documents. You basically break off all legal ties with the rest of Europe, and you say, right, we're going to wait 5 years, 10 years, we'll be our own independent country, we're fine with this, We're our own independent country. We can have trading rights with South America and various others. We just won't have trading rights with Europe.
I see. I kind of thought the same thing, but with the UK, that's how I imagined the UK leaving the Euro.
The UK leaving Europe is a bad idea. I think it's a very, very bad idea. I think that the United Kingdom needs to remember is that it's not an island anymore.
Mm.
Right? Anyway, we're getting off the topic.
Yes, we are.
Let's go back to this. So, $1.3 billion for the license to show the Olympics. It's...
Yes.
It annoys me. Anyway, we're going to leave that there. We're going to move on.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I just want to make one quick point. The BBC will be able to sublet from this, so they will be allowed to...
Yeah, but
to...
that's going to cost them an arm and a leg.
Oh, definitely. Almost definitely, yeah.
Yeah. This is just going to end up with more TV piracy. I can pretty much guarantee it.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to show you just what kind of dire straits the BBC is in. It's been reported that the BBC is eyeing up hundreds of job cuts to achieve a leaner and simpler service. It's reportedly bringing in a new round of job cuts, and the broadcaster is currently facing a £150 million a year shortfall due to a drop in the number of people paying the license, according to The Guardian. Now, there is a reason why people aren't paying the license.
Because... It's a ridiculous, archaic form of...
Well, you know, it comes as the BBC Trust recommended proposals to close down BBC Three as a broadcast channel and move it online in 2016. The Trust also insisted that it has not ignored the voice of young people, which it claims, which is actually our next story leading in, nice little segue.
Oh, well done.
They claim that the young people have a valid voice in the proposed move of BBC Three to online. Speaking at a media briefing, the Trust was asked about the results of a digital spy survey of 33,484 people, where 87% of those polled said it was the wrong decision to axe the station as a broadcast TV channel.
Oh, almost definitely.
Majority of people said it was the wrong decision. BBC Trust Chairman Rona Fairhead said, "I think we've absolutely taken it into account. The strength of feeling from the BBC audience is very clear. They are absolutely passionate about BBC Three and its programmes, and that has been built up over the 11 or so years that BBC Three has been operating. What we have tried to do is balance two things: the fact that the direction is to go online, but to accept that this audience wants and needs to have full access so that it can watch the programs online." I honestly think that BBC has lost the plot BBC Three. I'll be honest. BBC Three, what do you think of it these days?
I think BBC Three has always been very good for kind of. To watch newer, edgier things that the BBC would be coming out with.
Are you on about Fresh's Sex and Suspicious Parents or Son's Sex and Suspicious Parents?
Well, I did watch the
Trucker's Sex and Suspicious Parents. Dog Racer's Sex and Suspicious Parents.
You wouldn't see any of that on BBC.
Camel's Sex and Suspicious Parents.
You wouldn't see any of that on BBC.
Jungle's Sex and Suspicious Parents. Polar Bear's Sex and Suspicious Parents. Iceberg's Sex and Suspicious Parents.
I get the point. They've been doing a lot of that. But it's also been good for kind of comedy as well. So you had Russell Howard's Good News, Live the Electric.
Russell Howard's Good News is moved to BBC Two.
Yes, it has. That's true.
Okay, BBC Three is just showing reruns.
No, that's true.
Live at the Apollo.
Oh, that movie is good, didn't it?
That's a BBC One thing.
Yeah, all right.
Originally BBC One. It's they're not showing new ones on BBC Three.
There was Live at the Electric as well, which was hosted by Russell King, which I kind of enjoyed.
Russell King sucks.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but Russell Kane has a face you want to punch.
No, that's very true.
Sorry, Russell, but you are a bandy-legged little freak, you annoy me because he's not funny. He's not. I know people find him funny, but he's funny if you are. What's the word I'm looking for? You know when you have people, men who reach middle age and try to be young again?
Yes.
He's funny in that sense.
So are you saying he basically spends time doing dad jokes?
No. I'm saying he is the joke.
Okay.
He's a guy who's just wants to maintain the fact that he is a young person forever. But it's not going to work. No, some days you have to grow up. I mean, he tells the same types of jokes over and over and over and over again. Which is boring.
Yes.
You know, it's like Michael McIntyre's humor, which is observational, but has been done so many times before.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael McIntyre did this little sketch about, you know, hoovering.
Aye.
Do you know where I saw that sketch first?
Where?
Eddie Izzard. Years ago.
Ah, right. Well, there's been a lot of that kind of, stealing jokes from other people and, yeah.
So, yeah. This is the thing. Russell Kane is not funny, and I don't know why he's being paid. Graham Norton is funny. Graham Norton is funny because he gets away with it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, he actually says it to people's faces.
That's true.
You know, Graham Norton is funny because he says it to people's faces, and he's not always telling the same jokes over and over again.
No, that's true. That's true. He does keep it fresh.
You know, and when he does his talk show, he always has different guests, and there's always there's always something interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
Russell Kane, no. Son, Sex, and Suspicious Parents,
and that kind of stuff.
Just a big fat, you know when I channel hop?
Yes.
And I end up on BBC Three?
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm just prepared for a whole load of nothing.
Weirdly enough, that's how I found Fresher, Sex, and Suspicious Parents, just by channel hopping, nothing else. I was like, maybe.
And was it interesting for you?
Well, it reminded me a lot of Fresher's here at Teesside.
Yeah, but was it interesting for you?
Not really.
My point, exactly. Right.
Why
waste the license payer's money? Why waste money on something inane like that? When they're, they have, right? I just want to make this point.
Okay.
BBC, message to you, open letter. Consider this an open letter. You hold the rights to a number of amazing TV shows. Amazing TV shows. You are the rights holder to them. Instead of wasting money on stuff like Son, Sex, and Suspicious Parents, which nobody watches that I know, and I know a lot of people, why not just wheel out some of those older shows that don't get shown anymore? Let me put it this way. What would you rather watch on BBC Three? Oh. The Avengers?
No, that's a good point. I would prefer The Avengers. But in saying that, I prefer seeing that on BBC One or BBC Two.
Yeah, but if it was on BBC Three, you'd watch it,
yes,
wouldn't
you? Yes, I would watch it, yes.
My point, exactly. How many other fantastic shows does the BBC have like The Avengers?
God, I mean...
And this is my point. Yeah. If you're stuck for something to do with the channel, instead of making bloody nonsense reality TV that just shows young people in such a negative light. I mean, Son, Sex, and Suspicious Parents does not show young people in a positive light at all.
No, that is exactly the point of the show.
It's really derogatory to young people.
Yeah.
And if I was young, I would be insulted.
You know what it is? It's a Channel 4 show.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
No, an E4 show. E4.
Yes.
Not Channel 4. E4. I think, you're exactly right. It's an E4 show. It's the kind of thing that you'd expect to see on E4.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, they had Family Guy. They lost Family Guy.
Yep. BBC had Family Guy, and it's going to be moving to BBC ITV. I thought it was moving to BBC One or Two. I thought they moved it to one of their...
No, it's going to ITV, isn't it?
Really?
Family Guy's going to ITV. Family Guy's going to ITV. ITV bought the rights to it. I'm pretty sure of that. It's not going to BBC One or Two. Can you imagine points of view if Family Guy was on BBC One?
Oh, that would just...
Dear points of view, I'm writing to you with regards to the animated series Family Guy.
Yes.
I was appalled to find out that this passes as humor in America.
That is so true. I think even Americans are surprised it passes as humor over there.
So yes. Dear BBC, I'm writing to you about American Dad. I find it strange that an ET-like creature should be living with what seems like a modern American family where the father works for the CIA. I used to work for MI5.
Even so, Stan Smith, he is basically the epitome of everything I know about Republicans.
No, I was actually going to go on. I used to work for MI5, and my American colleagues were exactly like that. I found the depiction of CIA agents to be accurate, and I found...
Yes.
So, do you think we should make that a regular on the show, the points of view sketch?
Yes. But why is the head, the local deputy, the head of that CIA bureau, why is he British? Because that is distinctly... We know it's Patrick Stewart.
Well, it is Patrick Stewart. Yeah. He does the voice for it.
Which, for one, I love the fact it's Patrick Stewart doing it. It shows that he's not as snooty as maybe some other actors.
Snooty? Patrick Stewart? Are you mad? There's a brilliant story. I saw this. It was an interview about... It was a documentary about Red Dwarf, right? And Patrick Stewart, he'd never seen Red Dwarf, never heard of it. And it was... Next Generation was, like, really going strong.
Yeah.
And... He started an episode of Red Dwarf. He's like, oh, what's this? So he started watching it. It's like, science fiction TV series in space with spaceships? Yeah. There must be something going on. Somebody's been ripping off Star Trek. So he picked up the phone to phone his lawyer, right? And then he laughed at something. And very, very gently, he apparently forgot he'd put the phone down and just spent the next hour just laughing all the way through the episode. And it was at that point he realized he was a massive Red Dwarf fan.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. He has a superb sense of humor,
he
does
really
Patrick
does.
Stewart.
I do like one of the. He's not afraid to do different roles. I mean, I think one role I remember seeing
just
a clip.
Just remember the pot noodle gets eaten last.
Okay.
Because. Do you not remember that episode?
No,
Rimmer and
Lister. Yes.
Rimmer and Lister are stranded, and they, you know, it's the one with Rimmer's Lister's guitar.
Yeah, guitar and Rimmer's
and
box.
Rimmer's chest.
Yes. Yeah,
and there's like dog food and pot noodle.
the pot noodle gets eaten last. Yes, I remember that. But one thing about Patrick Stewart, I remember from a movie, I don't even know the movie, I just saw the clip on YouTube. I just remember watching in a just walking around in a pink shirt and a pink beret called the Pink Panthers. The gay police or something.
Yes.
Which I just thought was funny. I was just like, Patrick Stewart just diversifying.
Yeah.
And when he did the Money Supermarket ads as well, you're so Money Supermarket, you don't even know it.
Yeah. All right, okay, we've got one final bit of BBC news.
But before we go on from that, I just want to make a point. What's going to happen to BBC Four?
BBC Four, I think, will stay.
No, I mean, like, so is it going to be BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Four? Wait, hang on.
No, I think BBC Three will still... The nomenclature won't change.
But they'll just...
Yeah, they'll just have BBC Three as online.
Okay,
anyway.
A bit more BBC news. The BBC Trust recommends that BBC One Plus One proposal be rejected.
What is BBC One Plus One?
Basically, it's... it's just another one of those
BBC One an hour later.
Yeah, just another one of those services.
Why?
Oh, you missed
when
the program.
When you have iPlayer.
Exactly. It's
why
stupid.
Do you need BBC One Plus One? That's like the biggest waste of money in like.
Especially when you're dropping a channel anyway.
That's like buying a book, right? And this is exactly what it's like. It's like buying a book, right? And walking into a library where they have the book and sitting down next to the shelf that has the book that you just bought on it and sitting down and reading the book that you just bought.
It's ridiculous.
That is exactly like that, isn't it?
I mean, there was a time when the Plus One services
Especially if you're a member of that library and you could have just taken the book off the shelf and rented it out.
That is so true. That's so true. I mean, there was a time when these Plus One services made sense, like 4 Plus One, ITV Plus One. They made sense because
they
didn't
make sense now. I mean, it's a waste of money. ITV Plus One, why?
Yeah.
Channel 4 Plus One,
well,
why? Channel 5 Plus One, why?
Well, I've learnt sometimes when they show older programs, they don't put them on that online services.
Was it Channel 5 has the Plus 24? So you can actually watch yesterday's programs today. That is an interesting idea. But even that is kind of why.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it is. I think it's Channel 5 has it.
I think you're right about... I think it is...
Watch the same programs a day later.
It's...
Take the same exam a day later.
Yeah, there's a Channel 5 plus 24. It's...
But you got to ask, why?
Yeah. Not only that, it launched on February the 4th. That's my birthday.
Ah, well done.
Well, I just love that. We are celebrating Channel 5 plus 24. Does that mean when I turn 24, a new version of me is going to be born?
No.
But I still find the whole thing with... I know what you mean. It's like, oh, something that I wanted to watch yesterday,
I missed.
It means
that when you turn 24, you're going to have a child.
No.
You're going to have a family. You're going to be a responsible adult.
I wanted to say but I'd stop myself.
No, that was your cue to go, wah, I don't want to be irresponsible.
Screw the responsibility.
But I was just waiting for you to launch into like baby mode and start going, wah, I don't want to be irresponsible adult.
I decided to stop doing that yesterday.
Only yesterday.
Yes, 24 hours ago.
Oh,
but,
right, okay.
But here's the thing. If I missed something yesterday on Channel 5, I would think ITV OD. Channel 5 OD.
ITV Overdose.
Yes.
Right, okay. Anyway, let's move on. Jack Whitehall's Bad Education
is terrible.
A movie.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I sat down, watched one episode of it, and I just did not understand why it was popular. Right.
Okay, to all of our listeners, if you have any idea why Jack Whitehall's Bad Education has a movie, we would love to have your thoughts on this matter. Please keep them clean, you know, because we will be mentioning them on the show. Anyway,
yes.
Let us know either on Facebook or Twitter, studio at thegeekshow.co.uk. Let's move on because we've got some fair bit of news left to get through.
Yes.
Right. What have you got next, Owen?
Well, Donald Trump's been fired by NBC.
There is a God.
Yes. Yes. Basically, because of Donald Trump's rather derogative remarks on Mexican people.
Oh. I love this whole situation with Trump because he wants to... I saw this on Mock the Week as well, and Hugh Dennis really summed it up the best. He wants to build a wall,
2,000 miles, I think.
No,
yeah.
Not 2,000. It's like it's not 2,000. It can't be 2,000 miles. But he wants to build a giant wall, a great wall, all the way across the border between America and the USA, because boats aren't a thing. neither are aeroplanes or cannons. and he is saying that he hasn't been influenced by China.
It's just
But when your hairpiece looks like it's about to run away, no, when your hair looks like it's about to run away, when you are wearing hair that makes you look like you actually aren't human.
That's why I call him like the American Boris Johnson, because of that hair.
No, he's not because Boris Johnson is affable. You know,
that's a good point.
He's bumbling, he's affable. He's like, oh, yeah, quite very nice. You know, that's Boris Johnson.
Yes, that's
Whereas
true.
Donald Trump is, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. I don't like you, you're Mexican, you're fired. I reckon, do you know what we should have? The next president of the USA, right? Should be Latino. We've had a, why not President Rodriguez?
I would love that if
no, why not President Rodriguez?
No, that's a good question.
Two things would happen with that, right? Number one, the border problem would get solved.
Yes.
And number two, the White House lawn would look better.
Oh, that's terrible.
I stole that joke from a comedian called Christopher Titus. Sorry, Chris, but I do love your humor. But yeah, I reckon he's right on that though. President Rodriguez, I think somebody Latino should be the next president.
Yes.
It shouldn't be somebody.
No, that's very true.
I mean, Jeb Bush is trying to become president. He's running for presidential candidacy for the Republicans.
Yeah.
Jeb Bush. I mean, does he have a full name? Or is his first name actually Jeb?
I have no idea.
If you know, please let us know.
Yes.
Again, you know, on Facebook, Twitter. Is Jeb Bush actually called Jeb Bush? Or is it Jebediah Bush? Or Jedediah Bush? Or, you know, Jebro Bush? You know, could they not spell Jethro and spell it Jebro? Why is he called Jeb? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes.
Because W was not very good. I'm sorry.
George W.
W was not very good. And it's not W because that's something to do with audio recording.
Yes.
You know, W. I'm going to W.
Yes.
I'm going to over W, Owen.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Over W with like Rihanna. So every time.
No. No. Right, before we end up going talking too much about this, I want to actually get some points about this, right? NBC, basically what they're doing is stopping showing all programs that are co-owned by Donald Trump. So that's things like Miss America and that kind of stuff.
Miss America and what about The Apprentice?
Well, The Apprentice is going to be hosted by someone else.
Really?
Yes. I'm not sure who they're getting. I think, but... Actually,
they want robot Steve Jobs. That's what they want. They want a robot that looks like Steve Jobs.
Yeah,
that's what they want for The Apprentice.
I might actually be wrong because The Apprentice actually what it is it's leased from a different company, a different broadcast company. So they don't own the rights. Neither does Donald Trump.
Okay.
They just get the show from someone else. But I'm pretty sure that someone will be replacing Donald Trump.
I can't take him seriously.
Lord Sugar said that he'd like to replace Donald Trump.
Yeah, well...
And I would support that.
Do you know why I can't take Donald Trump seriously? There's one key reason. Right. My nephews and nieces have all been taught by their parents to not say the word fart. They have been taught to call it Trump.
Yes.
Right? Which is why I cannot take Donald Trump seriously. I can't watch Trip to Trumpton. And I can't listen to Nelly the Elephant.
Oh, God.
Without laughing.
I'm speechless.
Now you know why. So, yes, now you can't take Donald Trump seriously.
No, I never took him seriously. I can't take him seriously as a human being.
But now it's even worse because whenever someone says Donald Trump, you're going to go... You're gonna just laugh. So anyway,
I was gonna quote him on some of the stuff he said, but some of the stuff he said was so I'm just gonna say no.
All right, let's move on. Peep Show might be getting a US remake.
Now I was never a big fan of the Peep Show in the first place.
It was all right. It was the humor was a little bit difficult to get at certain parts. But generally, I mean, it had quite a big following. Loads of people loved it. And David Mitchell and what's his face? I've forgotten his name. Matt Webb, was it?
See, it might be, but I was thinking I was about to say Mark Webber, the racing driver.
Oh, Robert Webb. That's it. Yeah. But yeah, David Mitchell and Robert Webb, they were really good. But as I said, the humor in Peep Show. It was kind of an acquired taste for some people.
Yeah.
It has cult following. I don't think a US remake is going to work, though. I think instead of doing a US remake, just show Peep Show.
Yeah.
You know, if people get it, then they get it.
I think the problem is...
You're saying?
So I think the problem is because of people... It's the Office syndrome.
Yeah.
Because the Office did so well as an American remake. And so they seem to think anything... British, they can do as a good remake.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not the only thing that's getting remade. Utopia is getting remade as well.
Yes.
So tell us, what is Utopia?
Well, basically, Utopia, so it's about a small group of people who find a manuscript for a book.
Was it a graphic novel?
Yeah, it was a sequel to a cult graphic novel.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a precognitive book. So what happens... It talks about it features a lot of disasters in the book, but each of these has happened later on. So the group that now has this book are trying to decode the hidden messages in the book to try and maybe put, I think, either prevent these disasters or at least try do something to try and
survive
help.
Them.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, yeah, survive. They're also being pursued by a group called The Network, who also want this manuscript.
Hmm, interesting. And so that's getting a US TV remake, which I suppose is part of their big push because Heroes Reborn is coming as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes. Do you think the
US TV networks are just going, well, it's got comic book in it. It's got something to do with the comic book, so it yes. must be good. We must have it.
Must be. Apparently, Rooney Mara from...
So if I did a TV show, if I did a pilot for a TV show about a guy who only wipes his backside with high quality comic books, you know, do you think that'd get a US TV remake?
You never know. I mean, the Americans will take anything. But yeah, as I was saying, Rooney Mara is apparently in talks to take a role in it. You might know her from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. She's the other one. There were two. Sorry?
Which one was she?
The 2011 one with Daniel Craig.
Oh, right. She's the girl from that one.
Yeah.
Right. When you said she's the other one, I was thinking, hang on.
Because there was Noomi Rapace as well.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Because for some reason there was two movies.
Right. Anyway, what other news have you got? I think we've got time for two more stories at most.
Let's see. Dwayne Johnson's new HBO show Ballers is streaming on Facebook.
Why?
I don't know. HBO is streaming two of its shows on Facebook, the premiere episodes of Dwayne Johnson's Ballers and a geopolitical comedy, The Brink, is now available on the social network for a limited time.
Okay, it's a publicity stunt then.
It does seem
to be. It's a pure marketing stunt.
They won't be uploaded on YouTube, but they'll be through other HBO
services.
It's
a pure marketing stunt. Okay, moving on to the final news story, and this is just wonderful. Barack Obama interviewed David Attenborough.
Now, when I read about this, or when I saw this on the news, I thought, this has got to be one of the greatest interviews.
The thing is, it's good. I'm looking forward to seeing the complete interview, but Barack Obama is not an interviewer. He doesn't have the skills to... He's used to being interviewed.
Yeah.
But that does not make him automatically a good interviewer.
No. That kind of shows how David Attenborough standing in the world. The fact that a world leader of that caliber would ask him questions.
Yeah, but he's been doing nature documentaries. Like, some of them have been groundbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them have been groundbreaking nature documentaries for 50 years.
Yeah, I think Barack Obama talked about watching his documentaries when he was younger.
Yeah, I've been watching David Attenborough documentaries since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Never mind Obama. Anyway, we're going to end the news there.
Yes.
We're moving on to what have you been watching? So, Owen, what have you been watching?
Well, I was a bit nervous at first about bringing this up because we've been trying to avoid this particular stink for some time. But
I think it's safe now. I think it's safe to go in now. Someone lit a match and now it's safe to go in.
Yes.
It's no longer toxic.
No.
You know, the room is cleared. Someone opened a window and the smell has gone. Yes. The stench has disappeared.
Anyway, on the weekend, the last episode of the current lineup of Top Gear was hosted. Yeah, but it was only hosted by James May and Richard Hammond. Of course, they didn't let... Jeremy Clarkson was nowhere to be seen. All it was basically they showed the stuff that they'd made for the series. And so, yeah, two different stories back-to-back. Two different segments back-to-back. So okay. It was two different challenges. You had a classic car challenge and I think it was an off-roader challenge.
Okay.
And it was just Richard Hammond and James May. There was no audience, no news, no star in the reasonably priced car. It was just them, empty studio, and an elephant in the room. Literally a massive, I think a fake elephant in the room.
Why was the elephant there?
Because it's Top Gear, and they have a little joke. I mean, no one wanted to talk about the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room was largely ignored.
That's obvious.
Apart from the point where James May was stood right in front of the elephant, but it was the elephant's backside right behind him, which is a perfect metaphor for Jeremy Clarkson.
Well, the elephant in the room is obviously a metaphor for Clarkson.
Yeah, the whole thing
and
was
the
a
whole punching
giant
thing,
metaphor,
everything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Did it feel like Top Gear?
It kind of felt more like sort of an obituary to Top Gear. It's right. Well, these were the things that were supposed to be featured, but since it's not going on, we'll just feature them now. I mean, it almost seemed like Jeremy Clarkson had died. What made Top Gear good was the way the horse kind of bounced off each other, the kind of banter they had, kind of made it work. And Jeremy Clarkson was a rather big thing for that. And without him, it didn't quite seem the same. But so the two different points you had was classic car challenge where they drove British cars to try and prove that classic cars are actually good. And there was an off-roader car challenge in Yorkshire.
Okay.
Which I'm pretty sure was the challenge that set everything off. Because
right.
And when you watch the challenge, you kind of understand why Jeremy Clarkson was as frustrated as he was. Because
was it cold in Yorkshire?
Oh, it was very cold. It was very cold. And
his icy cars.
Yes. And being typically Jeremy Clarkson, he wants to get everywhere fast. And the best way to do that was to drive through a river in his off-roader. And obviously he got a little wet.
Which is why he was cold, which is why he complained about the hot food.
Yeah, the lack of.
The lack of hot food. Because he was cold, because he was stupid, because he drove through a river.
Is that as well?
So it was all his own fault.
You can kind of see it that way, yeah.
So no matter how you spin it, it's still his fault.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay.
But to his credit, he apologised.
Okay.
I think, because it's not quite something we expect from him, but I think it must have been quite emotional for him.
When did he apologise?
He apologised right after it was aired.
Right after the programme aired?
Yes.
Right, okay. That's kind of late to the party.
It is a bit late to the party, yes.
If he'd apologised immediately after punching the guy,
yeah,
you know, if he'd apologised immediately after, then that might have been something.
Yeah.
He could have gone, oh my God, I'm sorry, I just lost my temper, I didn't mean to do that, you know, I'm really sorry, I take full responsibility, yada, yada, yada. If he'd done that, then fine. I think that people would have been more willing to keep him on.
That's
more
true.
More willing to give him a chance, but he had to be, you know, he had to be Bertie Big Testicles.
Mm.
And be the top dog on Top Gear.
Well, I think the loser of the challenge, the forfeit of the challenge was to be an after-dinner speaker for a talk, I think, on renewable energy and solar energy or something like that, just one of the most boring subjects, and the loser would have to give an after-dinner speech.
Fantastic.
Yes. It was Richard Hammond that did it.
Okay.
So I've given that away.
That's all right.
Yep. But there's actually a bit where Jim Clarkson's trying his best to kind of get to the finish point as best as can. And he's there shouting, "I hate working on Top Gear."
Hmm.
He actually shouted those words out.
Well,
I think he was just very, he must have just been very
he's
frustrated.
Not working on Top Gear now, so he must be having an enjoyable time. Anyway. So,
yes.
Right. So, my turn now, is it?
Do we have time for your turn?
Yes, we have time for my turn.
Oh, then let's go.
We have plenty of time for my turn. And my turn is the final episode of Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Now, I've not watched this.
Right, okay, then you have missed out. I have to say, BBC did a brilliant job with this series. 7 episodes, but I would say it's actually the best series I've seen on British TV this year.
Yeah.
Without doubt, the best series I've seen on British TV this year. And that includes the likes of Gotham and various other things, right? Yeah. If you haven't heard about it, it's all about magic. It's basically a historical fantasy set in Britain and in Europe. It's based on the debut novel by Susan Clarke. And it's an alternative history, fiction, fantasy type thing. And it's set around the same time as the Napoleonic Wars.
Yeah.
And the premise is that magic once existed in England and has returned with two men, Gilbert Norrell and Jonathan Strange. Now, the two of them are kind of friends, enemies, frenemies kind of thing. But there is a third aspect to this. Jonathan Strange's wife has been kidnapped by a fairy.
Right.
A creature of magic kind of thing. Okay. Right? And so he is desperate to get his wife back, and various things happen. There are betrayals. Norrell is a bit of a coward. There's so many kind of plays and byplays of, you know, and power plays and all sorts of other things that happen. Everything is really, really well scripted and really well acted throughout the entire series. But the final episode was a monster of an episode. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
In terms of how it progressed. They realize, you know, Strange finally returns to England, and Norrell believes that Strange has come back to kill him.
Right.
Right. And so he's trying to barricade himself inside his labyrinth, only to find out that Strange doesn't actually want to kill Norrell. He needs his help to rescue his wife.
Right.
And Norrell, for the first time in this series, Norrell believes in himself as a magician, believes in his own abilities, his own magic, because he needs to. And it was really well done. The effects work is really good for a British TV series.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not talking like Doctor Who type effects. We're talking like a huge black tornado, you know, cutting through the sky and exposing space, the space above.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking some really superb effects for a British TV series. And it comes back, you know, we were talking about the BBC earlier on in the show.
Yeah.
And about you know, whatever, Sex and Suspicious Parents.
Yeah.
And why is BBC wasting money on stuff like that? Well, yeah, why is it? When it can make shows like Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Oh, that's true.
They don't need to make a full 13 or 26 episode run.
No.
Do 7 episode sections like Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. Little pieces like that really capture the attention, and you know, are these points in time that you can really just be dazzled by what British TV is really capable of.
Yeah,
this is one of those shows that, I'll tell you something, if American audiences aren't watching this already, then they really should be watching it.
Yeah,
you know, this is one of those shows that is it's a period piece, but it's a period piece with teeth.
Okay.
Real teeth. It really is best British TV series I've seen this year.
All right.
Actually one of the best I've seen in a long, long time. You know,
okay.
It's a mini series, but it is really that good. It really is that good.
Yeah.
And I love the guy who played Mr. Norrell and who played Jonathan Strange. So well done. Seriously, so well done.
Very good.
So, yeah, that was Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. And we are coming up to the end of the show.
Okay.
If you have any TV shows that you want us to focus on, do let us know. studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, or let us know on Facebook or on Twitter. Just look for The Geek Show.
Yes. Do we have any time for a talking point, or will we save that for next week?
We're saving that for next week.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'll save that for next week. Next week, the talking point is going to be...
Isn't it something to do with American shows? And
No. Okay. Next week, the talking point is going to be, why does the TV news in Britain focus on Big Brother, Love Island, and various things like that?
Well,
whereas you look at the American TV news, and they actually have interesting TV news. I don't care who did what on Big Brother and who got with who on Love Island.
And who flashed what on Love Island. Yeah,
I don't care. So, yes. So that'll be our discussion point.
Yes.
Why are British TV audiences apparently more shallow than American ones?
Oh, God.
Yeah. That'll be our topic of discussion. So, yes. Anyway, in the meantime, I have been Rob.
And I've been Owen.
We'll see you all again next time.
Do take care.
On The Box.
Bye.